So we thought we'd start this morning by doing some ministry, do some prophetic ministry and doing some praying, because I can never pray enough. So who wants to go? Is it working now?
Yes, working. Hello, hello.
Do you want me to go first? All right. Okay. So I thought we would start by, I'd love to pray for anyone that has been feeling a bit disconnected. And so that could be with yourself, that could be in community and family, that could be with God. We'd love to pray for you this morning. So you can stand up, you can raise your hand, or you can stay seated and God knows he'll pray for you. But I'd really like it if you let us know so we could pray for you. Is that you, Tommy? Good job, buddy. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you that you are the perfect Father. And that as we experience you as the perfect Father, all other experiences of connection, of nurturing that didn't meet your standard are washed away, Father. That all pain, all trauma, all fear gets washed away when you smile at us, God. And we bless the people that are here this morning and the people that aren't here this morning with an overwhelming experience of your fatherly presence in their hearts and around them this morning, God. We thank you that you love encountering us and you want to encounter us more than we want to encounter you. So we choose to believe that this morning. And we bless everyone here with a bubbling over of positive experiences of being fathered by you, God.
I'm just going to sit down because I'm feeling a bit wobbly already.
I've just been looking out over this beautiful collection of people and God's given me a few words. How many do you want?
Whatever.
Oh, okay. This couple here, I don't know you at all. I've never met you before, but as soon as I looked at you, I saw a key, and I think that God's giving you a spiritual key to something that you've been wanting to unlock for a while, and I just believe that what he does in the spirit, whatever he unlocks in the spirit, you'll see evidence of it in the physical too. I don't know whether that rings true for you guys, but that's just what I saw. And Wendy, I just saw you with your hands up and just a big download of jewels from heaven, just lots and lots of precious stones falling down. You were like a funnel just receiving. And I just believe that God's honouring you with wisdom and insight and knowledge about him, about the deep spiritual things. And that he's drawing you into a time of, just looking at those things before you pass them out so generously as you do. So bless you with that. Vanessa, I saw a wind around you, the wind of the spirit. And as you moved around, I saw people being disrupted in their everyday lives. I saw hats flying off and people looking up. I saw skirts getting whooshed around, and I just believe that you're going to be just carrying a really powerful movement of the spirit around with you that's just going to disrupt people from what they're experiencing in their day-to-day and make them look towards God and say, what's all that about? What's that freshness? Do you want to go now?
You're on a roll.
Oh, I'm on a roll, am I? Cheryl.
Well, I see, I told you you're on a roll.
Roots. I see roots. I see foundations. I just see such a deep, solid spiritual insight and stability in you. And I just believe that that it's going to be something that people come to, just to stand on that, to be in that peace of just knowing and certainty that you have kind of see you like a tree and people are going to come and shelter under you. I mean, we all already do, but I'm just telling you what God's saying today. I just really feel that God just wants to acknowledge you and honour you for that stable, beautiful, settling presence that you have and your peace that you carry. Thank you.
I'll jump in. Zach and Grace. Hey. I just see that God is promoting you in this season. And I know that might be a weird word for right now. Bossy. But I feel like God is going to take you on this adventure and this hidden ways, that he knows all of the ways to get to where you're going. And this is the road that he's chosen, and it's full of blessings and it's full of upgrades. And I feel like I hear him saying that this is the authentic path. I know you guys take that really seriously, like that's one of your values, but this is the authentic path for you. He will not get you lost. He will not forget about you. You will not like wander into obscurity, that he will show you how to walk with purpose. So when you get to the destination, things will make sense. So I bless you with a supernatural ability to trust him. I know you already do that really well. And I bless you with hope in your heart, knowing that he has all of your steps ordered, that he knows what he's doing. He's incredibly confident in his own ability to get you where you need to go. And he is confident that through this, you will become more of an authentic you than you ever would be any other way.
Have one for Miriam. So I just, two things actually. The first one is, I don't know what's going on in your world, but I just feel that God wants to make it known to you that he's your comfort, and that if you draw close to him, you know, he's right there. You, there's no striving, there's no searching. He's just ready to give you comfort. And the second thing that I saw was also a word that he'd given for me during the week, and it was about establishing, so when we plan, make our plans, and the Lord establishes our path. So that Bible verse, don't ask me for the reference, I can't remember, somewhere in the Psalms. But I just saw this big rolling stone, and it was huge, and it was rolling before us. And on the stone, where to put our cares, and where to put our burdens, and where to put everything, that's where we surrender, is on this rock. We surrender unto the rock, and it rolls the path before us, and when it rolls, it actually makes the way smooth. And so when we follow along behind the rock, we actually can like dance and skip a little bit, because we're so filled with joy and we're so filled with peace in following this rock. And all we need to know is the next step and the next step and the next step. But know that that rock's rolling before you, carrying your burdens and carrying your cares, so that you can walk behind in joy and peace.
So good. Do you want to pray?
I just got one for Janie.
Janie.
I just saw you like one of those, you know, the things that you put on the candles and they sparkle. It's a sparkler. and like you've got all of this kind of energy and ammunition there just waiting. And I see that God is reaching down with a flame and he's going to ignite you for a very special purpose. And so, yeah, bless you in that. And darling, I just saw a beautiful sunset. I just saw like the clouds parting and this beautiful, beautiful glory of God shining down upon you, and you're just soaking it up. So bless you.
Thank you, ladies.
That's fun. Thanks.
I love hearing God talk about his kids. It's one of my favourite things in the whole world. It's the best, right? He gets a bit gushy sometimes. That's my favourite. And he's like, oh, let me tell you about such and such. I'm like, all right. Well, today I'm talking about encountering God, encountering the Father. So I'm pretty excited. It's one of my favourite things to do and it's one of my favourite things to talk about. So I'm going to talk about it for a bit and then we're just going to do it. So that's fun, right? I think it's fun. Yeah, so here we go. So we're all here in church, this is my assumption, because we've had at least one experience of God. Probably, at least one, right? So that could have been giving your heart to Jesus is the pretty standard one, or encountering someone that looked a lot like Jesus and making you super curious. And I was told once that we only have one encounter as Christians, usually when we become a Christian, and then that's it. And then it gets hard. You have to live off that one experience, that one encounter, while reality sets in, like having one meal and then starving. But luckily, I was a little kid, so I wasn't really great at listening. And I thought, that's where Leo gets it from. And I thought it was a super weird thing to say, right? I had questions. Why? You know, first question as a toddler, why? Why? As a kid, why? Why only one time? And what kind of reality sets in? And if God was Father God, why did he encounter us once when we were born and then never again? That's not what dads do, right? But we know now that even with our biological children, their whole being is wired for connection, right? Studies now show that nurturing our babies, and scientifically, this means physical skin-to-skin touch regularly through the day, them smelling our body odour, that's nice, our heartbeat, our voice, our face, our physical movements, eye contact, connection time, and responding to their needs like hunger and changing and supporting to sleep literally builds their brains. How cool is that? That explains why it's so exhausting. Babies need continual encounter with parents and caregivers. They need it. And did you know that as they grow, their brains, their kids' brains are so immature that they need our brains to make it through the day? They're kind of like Bluetooth to our brains through connection. So they can access things like self-control, problem-solving, feeling safe. And even as adults, our nervous systems need safe connections for our brains to be able to be creative. This is all neuroscience. Problem solve, learn, and even digest our food properly. We need connection. And these connections need to mostly be face-to-face in person. We need to be held. We need to experience trust and to feel understood. And our society hasn't always recognized this, right? But you do know who's never forgotten this. Matthew 18:1, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What if we had the level of access to God that a child has to their father and mother? Because, you know, teaching a child as a parent is very different to teaching someone else. Right? There's no one else that I would teach how to go to the toilet by showing them. Okay? No one else has that access. Okay? No one else gets to wake me up a million times at night because they have snot in their nose. And as parents, we teach experientially, right? When they're newborns, they have complete access to everything. As they encounter us, their brains sync up to ours. The heartbeats sync up, our sleep cycles sync up, my favourite. And even if you're a mum and you breastfeed, your milk changes temperature to suit the baby. It's pretty cool. And as a mum, if you kiss your baby, your body will register what pathogens are in their body, create antibodies, and give it to them through their milk. So kissing your baby is actually healing them. That sounds like God to me. Here's a weird one. Parents smelling their babies, particularly the tops of their heads, creates a chemical reaction in the parent releasing bonding hormones. I do not smell other people's heads. And if I did, it would not release bonding hormones. Parent-child relationships are powerful and very different. Do not sniff each other's heads. They literally transform us by renewing our minds. Our minds are rebuilt when we have kids or when we, like obviously when we're born. It changes our bodies and it changes our lives. What if we approach God as if we were his child? Like he says, with our overwhelming needs. I have overwhelming needs for God. I can't make it through a moment of the day without God, let alone our day. And what if I approached him with overwhelming assurance that he wants to know about the snot in my nose? That'd be a bit different. What if we are held by him not because we're failures, but because he adores us and because that's where we belong? And while we're being held, our brains and hearts sync up with his and we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. What if every kiss from God healed and every sound of his voice quelled the storm that we're in? What if our attachment, our connection was so strong that as long as he was with us, nothing else mattered, that we could be content in all things? What if it's not about trying harder, but surrendering? What if that's what transforms us? What if it's not just the words in our Bible, but the encounter with love that transforms us? And what if it's always available? You know, parenthood is super gross. I don't know if anyone hasn't had this realization or maybe you just blocked it out. It's super gross. The first thing you do is you have a wee-covered stick and you keep it. Take a photo with it. I've got photos with our wee-covered sticks. Some people buy special boxes on Etsy to keep it in now. Yep, it's a thing. And about 9 months later, you get to hold your baby and they're super gross. They're super gross. Usually covered in most of body fluid options. Out of all the options, pretty much all of them. And we're overjoyed. We're so proud. My first words to a screaming, slimy baby were, "Hello, beautiful boy." And I think sometimes that was a peak parenting moment for me. Super duper godlike, right? Started off strong. I went straight from, "This is my body broken for you," to embracing a slimy son. If I had a fatted calf, we would have killed that thing immediately, even as if Leah had been living with pigs. Oh, Bible jokes, pay attention. I'm losing some of you, read your Bible. Honestly though, kids are always covered in something. Food, snot, mud. And that's on a good day. But I will hold him no matter what. No matter what he's covered in, no matter how much he hurts me. And if we can accept our kids when they've got stuff, don't you think God can? Nothing can separate us from his love. And what I'm getting at is, God isn't holding himself back from you. He's not asking you to clean up to get connected. And God isn't offended by our stuff. So I'm going to read one of my favourite stories. It's in John 4. It's the woman at the well. I love this story so much. Here we go. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptising more disciples than John. Oh my gosh. he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, just making me thirsty thinking about how far they had to walk, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Bit sus. "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband. Come here. The woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. So he goes on to kind of reveal who he is. And she runs off to tell everyone. But she runs off to say, and what does she say here? Come and meet this man that has told me everything I ever did. And I always love this story because it doesn't make sense. Like, we know what Jesus said, right? A bunch of facts, mostly. A lot of facts about that lady. But I don't think that's the whole story, because she already knows all that stuff about her, right? I mean, if I had five husbands, I think I'd remember that. And I can't think of a scenario where I could say to a woman who's experienced trauma, social isolation, statistically probably domestic violence, displacement, homelessness, and continual judgment from everyone, and point out all of her stuff and tell her she's worshipping in the wrong place, and then her get excited about what I've just said. I can't picture it. It doesn't make sense to me. Even if we note that Jesus supernaturally knew those facts, it still doesn't make sense. I have seen people receive prophetic words of knowledge. I've seen people call out their phone numbers or their addresses and stuff. And you know what? It was super cool. But it wasn't transformational, because facts aren't transformational. So what happened with that conversation that culturally, first of all, should never have happened? But also she went and she told people what happened, and they were amazed too. Like, she wasn't crazy. You know, they were amazed too. So if I came up to you and said facts about myself, like, I failed my first driving test and my eyes are blue, would you be curious about that, or would you just think I was super weird? Bit weird. Here's what I think. I think that something was happening during that conversation. I think she encountered the reality of heaven. I think she experienced love and connection, which was her greatest need. Because Jesus carried the reality of heaven, right? The truth of the connectedness of God for us, the available restoration and healing available for God's children, so powerfully that it transformed her. It was so transformational that she then went and told other people, and they were transformed. Jesus carried the reality of heaven so powerfully that it clashed with the reality around him and overcame it. And he's still doing it. He's doing it right now. What if continual encounters with God transfigures us so much that we become so very much like Jesus, that the reality in us heals the sick, transforms those around us, and is even perceived as dangerous to society itself? I know, and I've met people who carry so much of the reality of heaven that it shifts things around them. And I still haven't seen anything like the Jesus I've read about. Not yet, anyway. I've watched someone walk with so much power and authority that lines of people have been lifted off their feet and thrown over in the power of God, and they've gone into encounters. That was crazy. I've been in spaces of faith and prayer in thin places, and I've seen a $5 note materialize out of nowhere and drop on the ground when I needed to buy a hat. Priorities. I've seen a woman standing in a healing room with no one praying because she was too busy complaining about how she hadn't been healed yet. She got completely healed and covered in gold dust, and she was so focused on complaining about how she hadn't been healed that we had to interrupt her to tell her. So if anyone says, you don't have enough faith to be healed, just remember that lady. She was very angry. Matthew 10:7 says, heaven's kingdom realm is accessible and close enough to touch. So what do we do about this? How can we experience more and more of God, more of heaven? How can we purposefully position ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Expose yourself to the truth a lot, more than Facebook, more than Instagram, more than YouTube, a lot. Spend time with God. So I could quote some of my favourite mystics here. Some are in the Bible and some are their contemporaries. How I've been encouraged to open up the areas of my life to spending time with God. I don't have a lot of time to be still for various reasons. And if I am still, I fall asleep because I'm exhausted. And it's about to get really much worse, to be honest. So I've had to be pretty creative. And I've learned that I need to keep moving when I'm talking to God, otherwise I fall asleep. There's nothing wrong with falling asleep. But I have a lot of things to say to God, and he has a lot of things to say to me. So I talk to Jesus when I'm cleaning the house, when I'm washing up. And there's been times that washing up has become really sacred time for me, hilarious most of the time. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I just hate it. And I've fallen to my knees in the kitchen like I'm like kneeling here because of what God's talking to me about, because this presence gets so strong. So I encourage you to be creative. Pray before you read the Bible. Take time to connect with God before you start reading. Become aware of his presence. Ask him what he's thinking. Talk to him as you read and ask questions. If you don't sit down and study in the season as much as you would like, seek out some good quality teaching podcasts. I love listening to The Bible Project. They've been a huge influence on my understanding of the scriptures. Zach's like, yeah, they're the best. They're doing a series about dragons right now in the Bible. So, if, reading the Bible's been a bit, boring for you in the past. Now's your time. Read, listen, and spend time with people who've experienced the reality of heaven. So we all know some people who have experienced more than we have. And if you don't know anyone in person, time to buy some books. I remember reading God's Generals. There's stories of revivalists and healing ministers throughout our history. And they just like, especially the journal entries, I love them because they're like, and so we were driving to this place and we were so overcome by the spirit that no one in the entire town could move. And you're like, just another day for Mariah, cool. Pay attention to testimonies when people share them. Celebrate them wholeheartedly. You could find someone who naturally prays for people when they're out and about and ask them to mentor you. That's a nice challenge. And lastly, I've got notice your actions, thoughts, and beliefs. Over time, you will see them shift. So it'll start out as a conscious choice to repeat and believe, God loves spending time with me. God loves spending time with me. I love spending time with God. He loves spending time with me. And then one day, you'll notice that it's become a core belief and a stronghold in your life. And finally, forgot about this one, choose to be vulnerable in your connect group. If you don't have a connect group, connect in a group. And when you feel ready, share testimonies, ask for prayer, and allow your love for others to increase. Because when we have a great need to love someone, especially if they're really tricky to love, not that you have that experience, of course. I don't either. but when we have when we really, really need to love someone that's really, really difficult to love, we need God more. It's great. It's a win-win. So have a think about, who's in your life and who needs love. And love them. I think that We've been told lies as kids. We've experienced things that have built up strongholds in us that feel like the truth that aren't the truth. The truth is that God loves spending time with you, and he wants to. And there is nothing that you have done or you should have done that can hold you back from that, that can hold him back. Nothing can hold him back. And I think sometimes we've accidentally gotten used to having some spiritually disordered eating habits, where we go to a conference and we stuff our faces and it's amazing, we have all this crazy stuff happen, and then we go back to our life starving and we're hungry and we don't eat. And some of us don't eat because we get busy, some of us don't eat because we don't think that we're worthy to approach God. Some of us think that God doesn't want to approach us. But for whatever reason, we're not eating. So this is my invitation for you this morning. Get hungry, or realize you're hungry, that you're starving, that every part of you needs connection and needs the Father. Because it's true. It will always be true. It always has been true, and it always will be true. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have an encounter, guys. We're just going to do it. So if you're new here, I'll explain what that is. So we believe that God is so keen to encounter us that he will meet us in our imagination. And in this world and in our experiences, we have had our imagination used and we've used our imagination in ways that haven't been holy. So I'm going to pray for that in a second. But we're going to enter into God's presence with an expectation that he's there for us. Like when Leo calls out for me at 2 o'clock in the morning in the dark, knowing that I will come, because I've always come and I always will, hopefully. that he is waiting for us, and that he is powerful to connect with us, that he is so skilled at communication. If you love Lord of the Rings, he will talk to you about Lord of the Rings. If you love Star Wars, he will use Star Wars analogies. If you love gardening, I heard that amen for Star Wars. If you love gardening, he will show you pictures about gardening. He is so skilled and so eager to connect with his kids. It's like, now I know everything about Sonic and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because it's important to my kid. I will keep learning because I still don't know enough. But God will speak to us in ways that make sense to us, in ways that are powerful to us. He will use our memories. He will use our experiences to get right to our heart, because sometimes we need to bypass all of this. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to lead you through an encounter. So if at any time you want to stop, that's okay. If any time Jesus comes and says, oh, I've got something else to show you, go with Jesus, obviously. And if there's anything that worries you about it, you can come and talk to me afterwards, okay? Because we're all learning. And the other thing is, if you get distracted and you start thinking about what you need to buy at Woolworths on the way home, it's okay. It just means you've got a brain. It's all right. Brains do that. You can just say, thanks, brain. We'll get back to that in a second. Doesn't mean that you're not good at this. Just means that you've got a brain, which is a nice remember. You know, it's good to remember that sometimes. All right, so I'm going to pray and we're going to do it. Okay, guys? God, I thank you that you've given us our imaginations. We thank you that you have made us whole and creative. And right now, God, we come to you and we say, would you wash the screen of our imagination? Like one of those eraser boards from the 80s, God, would you wipe it clean? And we surrender it to you, God, that you would come and anoint it and create it as a safe place again for us to meet with you. Amen. All right. So I just invite you to get comfy in your chair and to just become aware of your body, as that usually helps. You might need to do some neck stretches. You might need to close your eyes. And there will there'll be distractions that come and go, and that's okay. So I just invite you to imagine yourself in a safe, comfortable place. And as you are there, it might be like in a cafe, might be at the beach, might be somewhere that you've been before or somewhere completely new. Just look around and enjoy it and experience that safety, that peace feeling. Can imagine that someone is approaching you. There might be a knock at the door, if there's a door. There might be noises of their feet. Footsteps, we got there. Baby brain. Or you might hear a voice. And you're feeling really safe, so you look up. And it's Jesus. He might look like a lion to you. He might look like a warrior. He might look like a professor. He might look like a grandpa. And he's approaching you. Jesus says, there's someone that you've always known, but I have the feeling that you need a reintroduction. Would you like to meet your father? And you can feel there's a little bit of like butterflies in your stomach, a bit of curiosity. And Jesus says, yeah, I know you know him. But would you like to see him in a new way? And so if you would, you can say yes. And so Jesus says, all right, I'll be right back. And he returns with Father God, and he looks different than other ways that you've experienced him before. Just take a few moments and look at him and be still and ask questions if you need to. How is he different from ways that you've seen before? Doesn't make sense right away, ask, what does that mean? And Father God speaks, and he sounds a bit different, and you realize that he's always sounded this way, it's just you haven't really noticed it before. He has a gift for you. So he holds out a box. Have a look at it. What does it look like? Does it look like a Viking treasure chest? Does it look like a jewelry box? Does it look like a hat box? A chocolate box? A match box? And fine if you'd like a present. You can take it and have a look. Be an heirloom. Might be a new pair of glasses so you can see things a bit differently. It might be a key to his house. And he might be saying, you know, you can come over whenever you want, you have full access. Says, I hope you like it. Is there anything that you would like to give me? And at this point, God's asking if there's anything that you don't need anymore. So that could be bad memories. That could be good memories. But you need to give them back to Him so you have space for the new that's coming. Might be disappointments. It might be offense. Offense at people that should have fathered you well but didn't. I just invite you to give that to Him this morning. Something to God. Let's have a look in His eyes and look at His expression. There is nothing in His face that is dismissing, trivializing, or invalidating you. That's not who He is. And I think He probably is also inviting you to go on a journey with Him where you can release more of that stuff to Him. You can come back to this place whenever you want. Driving a car, don't close your eyes though. Washing up. Falling asleep at night. This is the access that you have to God, to your Father. So I bless you to remember those things and for you to fully receive what God has for you. And to open your eyes when you're ready. Bless you with a growing experience of the love of the Father and a heart of courage to go after the things that are your birthright and your inheritance. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. Can everyone just thank Catherine for leading us through such a beautiful time with our Father?
Thank you.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, where are the tissues? we're only slightly over today and you're released to go if you need to go. But there is one more thing that I would love to share with you. And I'd like to invite Sam up to share a testimony just to help us focus back on what we're here for, why we're here to be renewed so that we can go out. And Sam has an awesome testimony. Thanks, Sam.
Hi. I'm a gamer. Yeah, even at 62, you wouldn't believe it, would you?
what would I have in common with a young Indian Muslim in another country who lives in a Muslim community and a Muslim family? You would say probably nothing, but you know what? God is incredible. I want to read you his story. He wrote, with a bit of help with his English from me, rather than me just explain my words, I want you to hear his words. Jim and his lamb parties years ago inspired me. I remember those, Jim. Not that I ever came to one, but, you know, that's what you millennials did, or you're a bit past millennial, but anyway. Yeah, okay. Anyway, this guy, he's 21. He's from a little Indian town. You won't remember the name, so I won't tell you. But listen, my name is Hamza. I'm from India. I grew up in a Muslim, in the Muslim religion. I was beaten often by my own family, faced many difficulties throughout my life. If I get a bit emotional, you might have to take over, Tina. I was a 21-year-old who never believed in God, but I was forced to worship Allah. I knew somewhere deep down in my heart, the God I was praying to was not the real one. There was a game called Clash of Clans. In 2022, I started playing it through my cousin. I joined a clan where 50 players play and chat together. The clan was called Children of God. I met some amazing Christians in the clan. First, I started chatting to a girl named Pyra who made me feel welcome. Then I started to chat online to Sam and Mark. These two people helped open my eyes to see the real God. They never forced me into Christianity, but I pursued it because my heart was literally opening up to God. I was reading the Bible and hearing the testimonies of Christians by video chat, even from partners of clan members. I surrendered to Jesus in early 2023. He saved me. My problems did not go away after turning to Christianity. They actually became much worse. For example, my mum wished I was never born. She could have simply lived with my sister. There was many abuses every day. Before Jesus came into my life, I used things when I felt hurt, like weed and alcohol. Now my family's hurtful words do not affect me the way they used to. I feel this amazing power inside me whenever something bad is going on here. I'm protected from these attacks because I put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, every day before I sleep. I read 3 chapters of my Bible every day, and the new journey of my life is the best life I've ever had. Thank you, Lord, for reaching me through these amazing people. Recently, my mum was making fun of my headache in front of a family on a group call with her sister and daughter by saying I was possessed by a demon. The persecution has been going on for months now. So I called my Christian friend, Chris, in the US to refresh myself in God's word. Before I started the study, I was crying intensely. But then I stopped weeping and began studying God's word. Then I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. Like, boom. Out of nowhere, every word was relating to my situation. And I was laughing, laughing, laughing. I kept laughing until the end of the Bible study. I had the best encounter. My feet were cold, but I had this feeling of heat inside me. I'm blessed and proud to be a Christian for having Jesus Christ in my life and knowing the Holy Spirit. Praise God.
Well, I had no idea that was going to include an encounter. So that just shows how powerful encounters are. And we just want to praise God. Praise you, Jesus, that you are converting people left, right and centre and bringing them home. You are bringing them back into your family where they belong. We pray for his family, that they also will come to know you, Jesus, through his testimony and through his life and how you have transformed him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We release you. Thank you.